From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The White House on Monday abruptly changed its policy on social distancing, now requiring almost everyone to wear a mask while on its premises, after several troubling reports of officials close to the president and vice president having tested positive for COVID-19. After months of downplaying the seriousness of the disease, claiming that it would one day just vanish like a miracle, the deadly virus has proven scientists right in its pervasiveness and proven Trump dead wrong. But will that matter to an administration that has made it clear it wishes for re-election at all costs, including at the cost of the predictable deaths of tens of thousands and possibly hundreds of thousands of Americans? My guest is Les Leopold. He's the director of the Labor Institute in New York and author of Runaway Inequality, An Activist's Guide to Economic Justice. His earlier books include The Looting of America, How Wall Street's Game of Fantasy Finance Destroyed Our Jobs, Pensions, and Prosperity, and What We Can Do About It. He recently published an article called President Donald Trump Culls the Herd. Welcome to the program, Les.
Thank you for having me.
So it's been very interesting to watch the Trump administration oversee a response or what seems to be an action that actually doesn't involve much of a response on this coronavirus. We are at a moment, this pandemic has put us in a place where very organized, science-based leadership is what any government requires the most. And what we have in the United States seems precisely the opposite of that. What did you mean when you say in your article with the title, Donald Trump Culls the Herd?
Well, he's willing to kill us in order to get reelected. I think we just have to keep in mind that his number one and only goal in life right now is to get reelected. And getting reelected means he has to show a recovering economy. Maybe not as high as it was before this all happened, but he has to show that he can bring the economy back to life. That is his number one calling card to win Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. He can't be president unless he wins those three states again. So, he's willing to toss the science aside and push and push and push to have the economy reopened so he can show that economic gain. It is the risk is enormous to the rest of us for doing that. So he has there lots of tricks up his sleeve to pull that off.
So the government isn't just, of course, the administration that is in power at that given moment. The government consists of numerous federal agencies with career staffers who have made it their life's work to be experts on whatever their particular department's focus is. And, you know, Donald Trump has tried very hard, initially tried to completely downplay the virus, didn't really want to admit that it was an issue. But of course, his own CDC and other departments and agencies within the federal government who are there for a reason, who have been trained, came out and did their job, which was in direct contradiction to the things that Trump was saying. So there was a brief moment where he attempted to take charge. He even said that he had total authority at one point about, you know, over whether governors would be able to reopen their economies and reopen their businesses. And then he again did an about face saying that now it was entirely up to states and governors to actually tackle the coronavirus crisis. We seem to be entirely on our own, a rudderless government during the most dangerous crisis facing humanity in 100 years.
Well, I think what you're going to see happen now is those public health officials are going to kind of fade into the background. And what's going to happen is that his economic team is going to try to take over the dialogue. And this is where it gets tricky. His most ardent media supporters are going to actually say that the numbers are inflated and that the real death count is not nearly as high as the fake media is making it. So he's going to try to attack the statistic as well, so that we can be encouraged to go out and work. Now, here's the problem. You can't wish away a virus like this. You can't wish away deaths. They happen or they don't happen. And they're going to have, by pushing the states to reopen as fast as possible. The most absurd thing that happened was the very day that his team put forth the phased reopening plan, he tweeted that late that night, early the next morning, to liberate Michigan and some other states, to get his people to go out and protest to liberate those states, even though none of those states had met the phase one guidelines of 14 days in a row of declining cases.
So his White House's own set of guidelines are not being observed. So his White House is putting out one thing in writing. The president is saying a completely opposite thing.
Sonali, he doesn't care at all about those guidelines. Mm. They were a nice fig leaf that he could use when he thought the deaths were going to stop at around 50,000 or so. Terrible as that was, he thought, okay, it's over, and now we're going to the economy is going to take off again. But as soon as he saw that the numbers were being dramatically changed to 140, 200, whatever it's going to turn out to be, he freaked out. And the next move was, forget about all that. We're going to reopen the economy and the herd is going to be culled. We're going to kill people. And he's going to call it a trade-off. His advisors have been saying that for quite a while. Former Governor Christie said that quite clearly. You know, it's X number of deaths. We're going to have to live with it in order to have some kind of, functioning economy. The joke, though, not a joke, here's the sad truth, is many, many other countries have much lower death rates and are much closer to reopening their economies because they followed the science instead of abdicating the way that Trump did. But we just cannot forget the only thing he cares about is re-election and reopening the economy. The rest of us are cannon fodder in that process.
And it's not just affecting the rest of us equally. There is a very, very strongly racial component to who is dying from the virus. Now, we might imagine that thinking that letting the virus run free will reduce Democratic voters is far too evil a plan for anyone to come up with, but nothing seems past this administration. I would not be shocked if we found out later that one of his advisors suggested, hey, white people are more likely to survive this. It's those pesky Democratic voters or people who tend to vote Democratic, African Americans in particular, Latinos, Native Americans, that are statistically more likely to die from this crisis. So far, the numbers have borne out that people of color are far more vulnerable to this disease and have succumbed to it with much stronger, with much greater efficiency than white Americans.
Well, I think you're going to see a very strong occupational component to that, which is that the lower income service jobs, where many women and people of color are congregated, have been the ones that have been very hard hit. But I suspect as this goes on and people in the more middle income industrial facilities and service facilities go back, industries go back to work, you're going to see it rise up that way as well. So I think if they're trying to play the, sort of the race immigrant card, it's them, it's not us, it's going to be us too. There's a lag time because it's going to move up that occupational ladder. There are plenty of people with pre-existing conditions who are not people of color who are going to get hit as he forces the economies to reopen without an adequate public health plan. So that diabolical plan hopefully will also fail. You know, during the Vietnam War, a similar thing was happening. People of color were dying, you know, being the casualties, and more and more and more of them. But after a while, a lot of families had, and a lot of communities had, dead soldiers, and the tide started to turn. And when you start getting up to 100,000, 150,000 deaths in this country, every community is going to see people fall. I think, you know, I don't think elites are going to suffer the way the rest of us will. But I think it's going to work its way up the working class stratified ladder. And it's going to be made. I think Trump is stuck. He created a box he can't get out unless he creates a war, literally, or a near war with China, or something so dramatic that attention is turned. I don't think he can get out just by wishing this one away and push and hoping that it just hits people of color.
We already see reports on of people who were at one Wisconsin rally, the so-called anti-lockdown protests, where at least five people have tested positive for COVID-19. So certainly there is, you know, that 2 to 3 week lag time between people gathering in places they shouldn't be gathering at. Or in ways they shouldn't be gathering at and contracting the disease with just one person, infected person present. I want to pick up on what you said about China. I mean, China is the perfect bogeyman for the Trump administration. It would like to assert that China created this virus. Trump has openly pushed a conspiracy theory backed by his administration, that including, you know, several high-ranking members of the White House, that somehow the Chinese government was involved in creating this virus in a lab and allowing it to spread. But what's really interesting is that, and there's been a lot of claims that, you know, the numbers of deaths in China have been underestimated and China's trying to hide something so that it can make the U.S. look bad. But here in the United States, President Trump has very openly said that if we do more testing, it'll make the U.S. look bad. He literally said it'll make it look bad, which seems quite consistent with the fact that we just haven't tested systematically at all in this country. The White House is testing systematically, testing daily every person that goes in and out of the White House. But apparently the rest of us aren't good enough for that. There are so many contradictions in everything Trump says and does. Is he just relying on the stupidity of his supporters? Sorry to just come out and say that. But is he relying on their ignorance and stupidity to not see the contradictions in everything he says and does?
I don't think he's worried about his supporters for reasons that I don't completely understand. His 40%, is absolutely rock solid. There's nothing he can say or do, really, other than possibly strangling someone on live TV that will turn them away. So it's not that group that I think we should be concerned about. It's the people who are not entirely in Trump's camp, but thought some good things about what he did for the economy, or don't really like Democrats that much, are sort of in the middle somehow or another. I characterize these people as steelworkers, where I do a lot of my work. There are people who voted for Obama twice, supported Bernie Sanders, and then voted for Trump. So those people are not his, you know, rock solid supporters. And Trump's trying to get them. He's got his people. So how does he get them? And they're going to be responsive to, I think they're going to be very turned off as the death count rises. And that puts us in a dangerous situation, because Trump may gin up the virus escaping from the lab fiction is not flying, because even his intelligence community and Joint Chief of Staff and all these people saying, nah, that didn't happen. Dr. Fauci saying the same thing. Now, I think it could be a confrontation in the South China Sea or something like that in late October, where Trump tries to show that he's the real commander And that he's going to make the Chinese back down. That's what I'm afraid of, because I think he's in a box. He cannot get out of it.
I'm wondering what you make of some of the signaling that he has been doing to his base. And I want to focus on this issue of the masks recently. And there's a very interesting sort of psychology at work here in the United States, with so many Americans seemingly very reluctant to don a mask in public in places where they should be wearing them. It seems to be some sort of affront to this idea of rugged individualism to wear a mask. And Trump and Pence have both made very clear that they are deeply reluctant to cover their face up, because, of course, doing so would maybe send a message that the virus is dangerous. I mean, Trump literally toured a factory where masks are manufactured. He covered his eyes, bizarrely, but not his face. Pence visited Mayo Clinic without a mask, then got angry about how it was pointed out, then apologized for it, said he should have been wearing a mask. He wore a mask to one public event, and then recently met with food industry executives at an event where right before he stepped on stage, an organizer stepped out and told every single panelist to remove their masks. Is this a very significant messaging to their base that the virus is not dangerous? They shouldn't worry about it, because look, the president isn't worried about it. Never mind, of course, that the White House is much more privileged than the rest of America.
Well, you know, it's an anti-government meme. He has to do two things. He has to make his base incredibly enthusiastic, so the voter turnout from that 40% is very, very big, that they all show up. So he's got to get them riled up. That's what he does at his rallies. That's what he does when he says all these divisive things. But he also has to get, and I think you put your finger right on it, it's the libertarians, the people who are don't want the government to tell them what to do, really believe in their own individual freedom, believe in a deregulation, and they're not necessarily completely gung-ho Trump people. And if they're unemployed, if they're worried about their health and are unemployed right now, et cetera, that could cost Trump a great deal. He needs those people. So the mask is like a symbol of libertarian freedom for those people. And maybe he can push it hard enough so they won't feel that he's basically killing them. He has to kind of divert attention to this rising death count. We already have 1/3, we have 5% of the world's population, 1/3 of the COVID-19 deaths. I mean, it's been a horrendous response. He's got to duck that, get us talking about masks, get us talking about China, get us talking about immigration, get us talking about anything other than the absolute rising death count.
So if there was any other nation in the world that had the numbers of infections and deaths that the U.S. has, it would be the target of U.S. criticism and international criticism. It's just so remarkable, such a measure of how far the empire has fallen. I want to talk to you about economics. That is your specialty, Les. The Trump administration is deeply worried about the collapsing economy and would like, of course, as we said, to have re-election at all costs. It does have a number of tools at its fingertips that it could actually use to improve the economic outlook of those Americans that are hurting. But it is choosing a very different path after the initial stimulus bills were signed into law, where some people and not everybody have gotten a measly $1,200. Trump is now insisting that he will not agree to any more stimulus bills unless there is some sort of payroll tax cut, which of course directly impacts Social Security and Medicare. He's even floating an idea, or Jared Kushner is floating an idea that suggests that people could get a $5,000 payout if they agree to delay or cut their social security benefits, their future social security benefits. They seem to be pretty open about tackling those programs that they derisively called entitlement programs that their base very strongly relies on, right?
Yeah, well, they're going to do two things. First of all, they actually believe in trickle down. So Trump is going to try to provide more tax breaks for the rich and large corporations because he thinks that will encourage them to push harder to reopen the economy. He wants his big idea is to allow tax deductibility again for corporate lunches. He thinks that's what's
right.
going to get people to
Incredible.
Rent to restaurants. But you're also right, is that if they can use the crisis to gut social programs, they'll do that too. The question is this: whether they have the capacity, the mental capacity, basically the ideological capacity, to fill the enormous gap that's growing right now in the purchasing power that the American people have. If you're not working, if you're afraid to work, you don't want to go into something like the White House. All right. If the White House isn't safe, how the heck is your plant or your where you work, your place of business? How the heck is that going to be safe? So, you know, people are not going to be able to work, and they're not going to have their unemployment insurance is going to run out. And lots of people don't have unemployment insurance. They're going to run out of money. And the solution really was what the Danes did and Northern Europeans did months ago, which is just pay to keep everybody on the payroll, whether they're working or not. And that way, when the economy restarts, boom, they're all there. No, we can't do that. So they're going to have to helicopter money into the American people's pockets. But they're afraid to do it because that would require, for example, they really do have to, quote unquote, bail out state and local governments, because otherwise they're going to start laying off people. Even though ideologically they want them to lay off people, right? They want to destroy government, destroy the social safety net. But the more they do that, they undermine their own economic goal of restarting the economy and getting Trump reelected. So again, another box that he's stuck in. It's, you know, it would be interesting to see. Maybe we should talk again in a month or so to see whether they're actually going to, you know, provide a $2,000 a month stipend for everybody during the entire crisis or something like that, some major program. But if they're going to talk about, they're never going to be able to pass taking money out of Social Security. Democrats, can't believe the House would go along with gutting Social Security. And Trump could, and ask yourself this question. How does reducing the payroll tax help the 20 million people who aren't working?
Right. They don't have paychecks to cut taxes from, by definition.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to have, I'm working, right? So I'm going to have more money. I'm going to what? Go to a restaurant? I'm not getting anywhere near a restaurant. What am I, you know, I'm going to spend more money buying little trinkets on Amazon. It's an absurd idea that that's going to somehow restart the economy. But that's the way they think. They're ideologically so against the social safety net and so against the idea of successful government that they've really, I got to say it again, they're in a box that of their own creation. Government is what's needed to work on a pandemic, and they abdicated that federal responsibility. Now they've got a rising death rate bigger than anything in the world. And helicoptering money into people's pockets is exactly what's needed to get to fill the hole here. They're not going to do that either, I don't believe. That would be my prediction.
Right. Well, Les, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Yes, let's touch base in a few months to see where this is going. The next crucial months between now and November, anything could happen. It's a very, very precarious time, very dangerous time that we're living in. And it's, you know, I'm completely at a loss to even try to predict what will happen. Thank you so much for your work and for joining us today.
Thank you for all your work, too. I really appreciate it.
Les Leopold is my guest. He's director of the Labor Institute in New York. His books include Runaway Inequality, An Activist's Guide to Economic Justice. And he recently published an article in Common Dreams called President Donald Trump Culls the Herd. We'll link to that from our website. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, and we're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.